This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Knights from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm and Jonathan Hood. You can catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago or on Sundays. Check him out on Sirius XM, part of Pro Wrestling Nation, every Sunday from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern Time. All right, boys, plenty of things to dive into in the world of pro wrestling. Revolution coming up this weekend. Of course, we're building towards WrestleMania. Let's start there with Mania. What, in your opinion right now, is missing in the build as we sit here about a month away from Mania?
Stories. Brian?
But I thought they were the story company. And well, so here's the flip. I won't say stories. How about matches?
Well, so they don't have stories.
They don't have matches. What else is left?
They've got a venue. You got to give them credit for that. They've booked the venue.
So we both agree, Brian. It's the same. You see, it's the stories, and then there's, you know, matches. As the three of us know, and people watching and listening, that WrestleMania for a long time, you knew 40 to 50 days out what the matches were. You knew what the card was. Now it's just trying to build toward interest, right? And so I feel like Triple H and WWE is scrambling right now. And I don't understand. I don't know if you've read what I've read about how WWE says, well, the audience knows what's coming, so we have to change it. You don't change shit on the fly in WrestleMania season.
Right.
It's the Royal Rumble, it's Elimination Chamber, and then what comes from that, you build. This whole thing that you're doing a shuffle game where you have Cody Rhodes winning a championship on SmackDown because people didn't expect that. Like, is Vince Russo back? Is Russo back with the swerve, bro?
Yeah.
But it wasn't a swerve. The second that the match got announced, we knew it was going to happen.
I'll say this now. Here we are, like you said, Gabe, about a month out from Mania. Do you think they know the full card for Saturday and Sunday?
No. And look, I will give them a slight break because there have been some injuries, right? And I think especially the way that they were building up the Vision, like I feel like the Vision was going to be heavily involved. And now you've had like the Vision being down to Austin Theory and Logan Paul because of the other injuries that you've suffered between Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. And I guess they're hopeful that Bron can come back, but because there's, you know, uncertainty around there, that means now there's uncertainty around Brock Lesnar. And apparently Lesnar doesn't want to lose, so they want to do Obafemi. And they like all these things just seem to be stacked on top of one another. Oh, yeah, and then you have the clear panic move of putting the championship back on Cody. And go in and having, okay, we're just going to make this simpler and it's going to be Cody versus Randy. Okay, I mean, maybe you can tell a story there. I mean, there's plenty of things in the past that you can tell a story to try to build up, but that would have been nice the last couple of weeks. Like, in addition to, like, you haven't told a story. When's the last time they told a story with Cody?
I was laughing and chortling and chuckling when Cody Rhodes won the championship because I was laughing at the TV. I was laughing at you, Gabe. I'm just laughing because this is what you did not want. You've been screaming this for weeks, and guess what? It happens on a SmackDown where they give Cody the championship, and I just laughed. I'm like, ah, this is not what Knightsel wanted, and guess what? It's happening, and they put him in the title picture because they panicked. So let me ask this question that no one's asking, okay? Let's talk about this. So we talk about the Vision, Brian, the whole thing of, well, you don't have two members of the Vision that more than likely won't be part of WrestleMania. How would they have fit in the WrestleMania main event picture? Do you think that Bron Breakker would have won Elimination Chamber? Is that what we're missing? Because otherwise, they just would have been in matches.
I mean, that would have been more intriguing. I think you still would have had to do some pivoting. I guess that would have looked like Cody versus Bron. Like, maybe you never take it off Cody in that situation.
Just in a singles match.
No, for the title, for the SmackDown title.
Yeah. Yeah, for the WWE Championship. Yeah, one-on-one.
Before the injury, did you think that was the plan? I don't think it was at all.
No,
that's what I'm asking. We talk about, well, we're missing two members of the Vision. It's like, well, they weren't in the main event.
Yeah, picture, that's not a huge trickle down.
Okay.
But to me, I guess I look at it like this. Like, I think Seth versus Braun would have been the intriguing matchup there, right? Because they were hoping that Seth was going to be able to come back. And that injury certainly threw probably some wrinkles in. And then that frees up Logan Paul. I know there was a hot rumor, especially around fake going after Bad Bunny around the thing his account got hacked. Then it seemed like, oh, are we going to get like a Pauls versus Bad Bunny thing? And then we get Logan versus Bad Bunny. Like that was a rumor. And again, that all depends upon Bad Bunny's like availability, right? And who knows what that actually was. And that could have just been a rumor and never actually in WWE's plans. But now it's clearly Logan Paul versus Seth Rollins, because that's the only direction you can go there. It's going that direction because of the health of everybody else. So I've got a little bit of a trickle down there. But I mean, some of it's also just and so right now you don't have story for half of your world championships, right? Right. They've got story with Punk and Roman. They've got story with Liv and Stephanie Vaquer.
Yep.
Over on Raw. SmackDown is just directionless.
Yep.
SmackDown is the which makes sense why, you know, now Road Dogg no longer works there, even if he said he quit versus like SmackDown is directionless right now. Like I don't know what's going on over there. In terms of the world championships, like overall direction for the mid card titles for both the women and men, like there's not a ton there. Like it seems like Julia is now going to be more in a tag team than defending her US championship. Right.
But like, even like the build up stuff, like we're getting Bayley versus AJ for the Intercontinental title on Raw next week.
On Raw.
I know.
Why is that not at Mania?
So we're not going to get that at Mania too. So I mean, why would you?
Why?
We don't. You're not building TV ratings. We're not asking for that. You got to build us a Mania, right?
Because I'm guessing we're getting Becky versus AJ run back again.
But that's the thing about them being creatively bankrupt. To go back to your question, Hood, about how the vision injuries maybe affected things. If Braun's healthy, maybe it's Braun Punk, and then SmackDown is Cody and Roman again.
See.
No, you can't do that.
But like, that's where would Roman have ended up? Like, that's all that changes.
So I'll make the declarative statement now. You can clip this and aggregate this if you want. I think it's pretty clear that AEW is the best company today with story and matches, just based on what they're doing. For WWE, it might be the coolest, it might be the most popular, most lucrative. But AEW is doing a better job in 2026 than WWE is, because WWE is floundering. Now, again, once we get to WrestleMania, they'll put all the chess pieces together and be like, see, we had it. But no, this is not what we're used to at WrestleMania, where you're trying to ramp up to something and get excited about it. There's a couple things we're excited about,
yeah.
But there's so many things that's left on the cutting room floor so far.
Well, because you have to fill two nights. You got two nights to fill.
Yeah.
And I know last year we talked at the end of it, like, well, they probably had enough exciting stuff here between the two nights where it would have filled a normal WrestleMania card. I don't even know if they've got that right now. And
no.
Wow.
Again, like, I just don't know. I know they tried to throw a little bit of lighter fluid, you know, whether it's a work, whether it's a shoot over on the women's side on SmackDown with Rhea showing up and, oh, is there really heat behind the scenes with Jade Cargill? And is she really hate it? I mean, I don't know. I watched SmackDown on Friday. Did Friday night and Rhea showing up and those two facing off get anybody any more excited for that match?
No.
They got a month left to somehow heat that up. Like, at least with Cody versus Roman, or excuse me, Cody versus Randy, at least with that, I think they can heat something up. They can microwave something quickly to get you excited for it. As much as I disagree with Cody Rhodes being the world champ again, because again, they just can't operate over there unless he's the world champ. Can't tell any compelling stories with him unless, seriously, since they finished the story, like they can't tell the champion, the story with Cody unless it involves the championship. Like, we talk about it all the time about, okay, does the championship make the guy or does the guy make the championship? Right now, the championship's making Cody because they haven't told compelling stories with him. And I know he's better than that, and I know they should be better than that because they've done it before. And yet, for 2 years now, they refuse to do it with Cody. And I don't understand why.
This is so delicious. I love this animus so much. I've been waiting for this. Oh, doctor. As soon as Cody won the championship, oh, shit. Here we go. It's going to be Mount Neitzel. Here he comes.
Like, it just doesn't.
The headline of this episode is, they can't operate without Cody. They can't. The company might fold if Cody's not the champion. That's what Neitzel just told us.
I mean, they're lowering ticket prices today, so maybe.
Well, and that's the other thing. Like, it's a perfect storm for the lack of excitement in terms of the crowd for this WrestleMania. Tickets are too high. You're going to the same place. The city itself is pretty expensive. And, oh, by the way, we don't know what the bleeping card is.
Right.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. You have a building, and you don't have a card to fill it.
For
two nights, you can't fill it with this card.
And I mean, as WrestleMania continued to, you know, grow again, like, I mean, again, WrestleMania used to be in, you know, NBA arenas, or in Hood's case, the Allstate Arena, which if you've ever been there, you look around and go, okay, they had a WrestleMania here. Good for them. But like, as they continue to build the football stadiums and then doing two nights in football stadiums, the reason why you got to get the card out there is because that's a lot of people you got to get in there. And in order to get the excitement, you got to get the card out there so people know what they're seeing, what people are investing in. And I mean, I can look up the official card right now. Like, it's nowhere near where it should be a month out.
Do we have anything announced besides the four title matches?
That's all I see. I see Brock versus TBA.
Oh, okay. We have that. Which is
only half announced.
Right.
Which is that's like, that's Gunther, right? Probably Gunther.
I think it's Oba.
Or Oba, one of the two.
I mean,
Jake Cargill and Rhea Ripley. It's
Is Stephanie Brock actually going to do a job?
And Liv Morgan, Randy Orton against Cody Rhodes and CM Punk and Roman Reigns. That's all we have so far.
That's it.
So it's the world titles. Again, just the general direction for any mid-card right now.
Nope, they don't know how to do that. Well, maybe this will make you feel better here, Gabe. Cody Rhodes, QB1, with Complex Graps, talking about WrestleMania 42. He said he didn't want to give a statement that get all clickbaity and things like that. So this is what he said instead. Quote, I think you're looking at a bell-to-bell mania that's the best it's been. The type of stuff I grew up on. Wrestling bell-to-bell. The best?
No, that's clickbaity and bullshit. That's what that is. That's clickbait. Like, you can't tell me it's the best bell-to-bell when there are four matches for two nights.
He goes on, yeah, Battle Bell, I think they're going to get one of the better manias, if not the best mania of all time.
You know what you got? You know what this card is? A solid Dynamite.
Yeah, I've seen better ones. I don't know. There's no Fletcher versus Speedball on this card right now.
I said solid. Okay. Not great. A solid Dynamite. In front of 3,000 people. That's what that was. That card right now is a solid Dynamite on a given Wednesday. That's what it is. It's not going to get any better than this, so don't forget to subscribe, folks. We'll see you next week on GKW.
He did say he's seen some names on a sheet of potential guests that are really exciting for WrestleMania.
Well, like, there, I saw a report today that Jelly Roll might have a match at Mania.
What? Excuse me?
Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I appreciate what Jelly Roll did in the tag match, and I appreciate him stepping up and going, shouldn't I lose here? Shouldn't I be the one? I don't feel like I should win here, guys. I'm happy to be here, but I should be pinned at the end of this. I appreciate him, and I appreciate him as a fan, but we're throwing him into a Mania match a month before?
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Oh, my goodness. Excited for it. My goodness. Like, this is just where we're at with WrestleMania right now. They're in a panic creatively, and it's a shame because I like the Punk versus Roman stuff's been good.
Yeah.
Like you've got that. That's really good. I've enjoyed the Liv versus Vakir stuff, but that's it.
Dom and Finn will be good. Trying to find some positive.
Yes, you know what? So they are starting to tell a story there. So that will be on the card, which will be fun. And I'm assuming Dom is defending his AAA championship this weekend, right?
I believe
next weekend? Yeah. So clearly Finn's going to cost him, right? Yeah. And that's just going to continue, you know, as they tell this over you know, the story over multiple promotions at this point. But yeah, that'll be good. That'll be a lot of fun, especially it seems like Finn's been reinvigorated after wrestling Punk over in Ireland. So yeah, that'll be good. That'll be a good story. Okay, cool. What about the guy who just took the Intercontinental Championship? They got anything for Penta?
No. We were teasing a few weeks ago, El Grande versus El Grande. That's on Raw Monday. So
yeah, why is that spoiled? Why is that not on WrestleMania? Why don't you build that one? What happened?
Seems like a pretty easy one to build too.
Yeah. So you get two WrestleMania caliber matches on Raw between that and AJ versus Bayley. That's what I'm hearing.
So yeah, and again, AJ being IC champ is good, but again, you just had I enjoy the fact that they, you know, wrestling shows love wrestling, or wrestling fans love wrestling on wrestling shows, which WWE learned the hard way when they did a gauntlet match. But like doing, like, can we be a little more creative than doing a gauntlet match on Friday and then turning it around and doing another gauntlet match on Monday? Can we be better than that? Or
they called Friday Turmoil. That's totally different. They called the tag team Turmoil. That's totally different than a gauntlet match. That's all that is.
How? Right. How exactly?
Just a name. I guess that's really it.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Just a name. Right. Is that what you just said? Just a name?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I think the bottom line of all of this, guys, is that there's just so much upheaval in WWE. And they'll slap a car together. That's fine. But you got to think about this. There's been many years where you've got a card in place and then a family of four or a couple of guys or just someone wants to go to WrestleMania and say, you know what? I'm going to get on a plane and I'm going to pay to go see WrestleMania because I like the card that's out there. We've saved money. We're going to go. I mean, this can't be a last minute thing. We're a month out of WrestleMania here. You just can't just slowly unfurl the card. I understand that WWE is a slow build, but not when it comes to WrestleMania. You have to know what the card is so that way you get used to it. Who knows what someone might want to fly in there to check it out.
But that's probably why we are in this spot. They know when you see WrestleMania, you see Vegas, you're booking that stuff months in advance. They don't have to worry about pay-per-view buys anymore. You're just launching, you know, whatever streaming app you're using, ESPN in this case, you're watching it. So they really don't have an incentive to say, hey, let's give the best product, the best season finale that we're used to. Like, that's why we're in this spot.
Well, then you're UFC.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, because you're under TKO, so that's the way how they do business. So, sure.
Which came under fire this week from Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
She accused them of not wanting to put together the best matches. So.
Yep.
Well, next thing you know, WrestleMania will be on the White House lawn. Who knows?
I mean,
it's better than Saudi Arabia.
Is it?
At least it's not at a decent time. let's go ahead and move on. Let's do the three count here on GKW, the other top stories in the world of professional wrestling. Brian, what do we have at number one this week?
7 years ago this week, The Shield had their final match at WWE Fastlane. You talked about their impact on the business, but how do you rank the career of the three Shield members post-breakup?
This is hard. I thought that this was going to be easier to do. It's really hard. Because in terms of overall success, it's clearly Roman. Like, Roman has become the face of the biggest wrestling company on the planet. He main events WrestleMania each and every year. He just has the respect now when he walks into the arena after the whole Bloodline saga. He just has that respect when he walks in. But he's only a part-time performer at this point. Like, so I think that kind of knocks him to me. And Seth, I feel, has had the ups and downs. Like, they each have, you know, Seth's had his ups and downs, but he's been the number one in PWI the most times, three. You know, he's been a six-time world champ, same number of Roman. But I feel like Dean's probably then been the most consistent, or John Moxley. He's been like the most consistent, like most reliable. Like, you know, he's always going to be there. I honestly don't know how I'm putting them right now. Like, I see all the strengths, a couple of weaknesses. Like, it's unbelievable because you can do that. Like, we've talked about The Shield before, where having three guys of this caliber, like having no Jannetty is incredible. Yeah. And the only other group that I can think of that was kind of like this, that went on to have this type of individual success, would have been Evolution. But I think it's pretty easy to kind of order how you would, you know, rank the four members of Evolution. Like, I think that's easy to do. This is really hard to do in terms of going one through three, because I, like, one and two, sure, but I don't know. I don't want to put any of these guys in third place.
Yeah, that's the hardest part. One of them has to be three.
Yeah, and that's the hard part.
Well, for me, gentlemen, it's pretty simple for me. And I'll just explain it this way. Roman Reigns was part of the greatest story in the history of the business, being part of the Bloodline. And so you take, I mean, outside the championships, just the 4+ year story of the bloodline matters, because that means that people were intrigued. You kept flipping the pages of the bloodline. It was interesting. All the infighting and them being together and back and forth and Paul Heyman and all that. So Roman is number one. And I never thought that he would be number one based on him being the big dog and based on how he came into the business.
After suffering succotash, he rebounded to become number one.
Yeah, as no doubt. And that story helped him to be number one. All the championships and, you know, being the top guy, all that, but just being part of that storyline and then growing up before our very eyes, a guy that had to read off his hand and was not very good promo became a must-see promo. So he's one. Because Moxley left the Roost and left the WWE to go to AEW and have all these championships and be the guy in AEW, and also being world champion, probably didn't deserve it in WWE, but he was. We can set aside the Stone Cold Steve Austin bad interview that he did on the podcast where he's got deer in the headlights, didn't know what to say. He became more of the indie Moxley in AEW. And so because of those championships and being in main events in AEW and being a leader in that locker room, from what I understand, he's number two. And the third guy is a guy that said, I don't know if I'll ever really be the guy. You remember we talked about this. Seth Rollins himself talked about, maybe I'm just kind of savage to someone's steamboat. Maybe I'll just always be second best. And I don't know if I'll ever be the long-term main character. So I think that Seth comes in third. Even though Seth has won his share of championships, he's been part of main storylines. I think Mox winning in WWE and leaving to go AEW, I think that that secures him at number two.
Yeah,
I will say, with Mox, though, the pop when he came out to cash in to win that world championship, like, it's one of the – it's on the – it's not as big as – you know, when we saw Sammy hit Roman in Montreal, and turn on Roman in the bloodline, it's not as big as Bad Bunny coming out in Puerto Rico. But the pop, like, especially in that era of WWE, that level of just crowd diving in head first, you didn't see that as much at that time. And that still lives in my brain, like how the crowd was so behind him winning that championship after Seth and Roman went head to head and one on one in the main event of that Money in the Bank, that the crowd was behind him for sure. WWE obviously wasn't, but the crowd was.
Vince Vince resented it.
Right. But that's your point about Mox. Like, I agree. I put him at two behind Roman. Like, him going out and being the face of AEW, being that prize free agent, allows him to get out of the shadow of the Shield. Like, it feels weird saying Seth Rollins is number three on a list, but in his own company, he's never going to outshine Roman the same way he said it. Like, Savage isn't outshining Hogan. Hunter wasn't outshining Stone Cold. Like, that's sort of who Rollins is. As great as he is, he does fall behind these two. And if he would have been the one to go to AEW, it would have been the same thing as Moxley. Like, he would have been a star. He would have been faced the company, but he didn't. And he seems to be a WWE lifer now.
Yeah, Tyler Black just being unleashed in AEW. He could have played a very similar role.
Right.
You know, in terms of having a little bit of that more edge to him. Man, Seth is really number three. It seems strange when you look at the resume that he's number three, because I feel like he's carried the company at different times, but there have been other times where it's just been like, okay, he just kind of comes out and cackles on a Monday night and say, okay, is that it? But he's continued to grow and be better and maybe just more comfortable in the role that he's in. You know, when he says, it's sad to hear him say, oh, maybe I'm never going to be the guy. But I also think that's him accepting in the moment, okay, this is my role. I'm going to play the best I can out of this role. And that still means he's going to be a Hall of Famer and an all-time great and all these different things. And he's going to be featured at this WrestleMania and next year's WrestleMania and the WrestleMania after that. I guess the thing for Dean at this point, or Mox at this point, is he ever going to be featured the way these guys get featured at WrestleMania in AEW? Because, like, their big shows and their biggest show to date has been Wembley. And he's not going to be – I mean, he'll be on the card.
Yeah.
He'll probably be in a pretty good spot, but that's going to be Ospreay's Wembley.
Right.
You know? You know, and –
He was in the main event in Arlington, Texas. So, you know, for them, which is good. You know, again, the money that they made from that, we didn't know if that was even going to be successful. But because of the story, and somehow Moxley still wins, even though we hated that story and him champion, he wins because look at the company now. On the other side of it, you know, Hangman Page becomes champion and gives it to MJF. And so somehow, some way, we were able to get out of that abyss of Moxley being champion, a method to his madness, and he was a catalyst of it, being part of this. And now he's a babyface without no explanation, just a babyface.
In a heel group, of course.
In a heel group, yeah.
Did you see – so he did the one-on-one interview with his wife, and AEW puts it up, and Mox is talking with Renee about, you know, all the members of the Death Riders, and he gets to the guy who just shaved his head. He gets to Wheeler Yuta, and he's like, you know, Wheeler's just like this son I've never had, and she goes, wait a minute, what does that make me to Wheeler?
Out of his mind. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Nope. No,
he doesn't know. He's just out of his mind, man. And he knows he's out of his mind. What was he saying in an interview just recently? He said something along the lines of, man, I'll look around this locker room and nobody knows what the hell's going on around here. He's talking about the whole locker room, just like, it's like, I don't know if anyone knows what's going on around here, but you know, I know what's going on. Just like, okay, are you going to teach these kids what's going on? I don't know what he meant by that. But
he did say Death Rider stuff, the favorite stuff he's done in his career.
Okay, well, that's a shot at the Shield. I mean, what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
I mean, he's having fun.
Okay. I mean, the Shield's the most successful. I mean, it's got to be one of the most, if not, I'll just say it. It's the most successful faction in wrestling, right? Like, I don't know if you can match it.
Numbers, yeah.
What do you mean?
I will say, if we're
I guess the three post, right? Because no factions forever, okay. Right?
Right.
And we always talk about, like, everybody always has a Jannetty, you know? Like, somebody's there to help build the next one. And, like, no group has ever done this, what these three guys have done, in terms of having the post-success of a group.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, it was a very successful faction. Yes, it was.
Yes. Yeah. In terms of a faction itself, it's not the most successful faction, but like the post careers of the three, we've never seen anything like that.
I don't know what happened. My hand just went into a cramp. What happened there?
Oh, I guess those guys have some titles.
Brother. Well, that's the most successful faction of all time. But, I mean,
In terms of numbers and early, like, Judgment Day is going to make a strong case of moving up that list. If you look at titles and posts, like,
they got JD McDonough, they got no chance.
Yeah, he's definitely Jannetty, but like, you count Rhea, you count Dom, who's just going to continue to ascend.
Mm-hmm.
Finn, I guess, will never be that top spot.
Well, it's a better faction for the women. Raquel's going to be a top champ. Like, Liv's probably winning at Mania. Rhea's the biggest one they have right now.
Roxanne will be a champ.
Yeah. Like, for the women, it's a lot better for the women than it is the men. Because, Damian Priest won a world championship, but he's not, like, and again, I'm not trying to, like, diminish, but now he's in a tag team with R-Truth. Like, he's not in line for another world championship run.
The number one contender for the tag titles. Jeez.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Judgment Day, very unusual as a group, though.
Yeah.
It's strange how they've been able to stay together. To me, this is a microcosm of, we're never giving up on them. It's kind of like AOP and Ellering for all those years. Just stayed with them. Just for no reason.
This is
on the TV.
Yeah, I mean, this is almost like the WWE version of the Bullet Club. Like, no original members of the Judgment Day exist.
That's fair.
But the group still keeps on going.
Yeah, it's very strange. I mean, they have lasted the test of time, the Judgment Day. Yeah. So I think it's time for to kind of a little freshen up, a little few new members, I think.
I mean, Edge started this damn thing. He's in a different company now.
Yeah, very strange. But you know what? It has been successful. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, we move on. What do we got at number two this week in the three count?
We were talking WrestleMania and the lack of build and, matches. So who currently is in danger of getting left out of WrestleMania?
I mean, number one on the list seems to be LA Knight.
Tozawa.
Seems like he is probably going to miss out. But the one I'm worried about most is Oba. Like, if he's not getting Lesnar, what are they going to do with Oba?
Three-way with Gunther.
Who's the third? Oh, with Brock?
Yes. There you go.
That's...
Well, just go through the roster. Pull it up, Brian, because we could just... It's a process of elimination. We go to the bottom of the roster and then start cutting off names. Rusev got manhandled by Oba. So no Rusev day.
Okay? No. Nope.
Okay. Tozawa?
Well, here, I'm starting with champions.
Are you worried about Tozawa? I didn't realize he was a possibility to make the card.
Maybe there's a battle royal. You don't know, Nitzel. Just hang on a second.
Well, they're going to put that on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Everything's
the United States champion, Carmelo Hayes, I think, has his spot reserved there, unfortunately.
Everything's up in the air. I think anything is a possibility now in the World Wrestling Federation. God damn, pal.
I'm just going through champions. I don't know if we got every champion on the card. You mentioned Penta earlier.
Yeah.
What's the plan there?
Should be on the card. Should be on the card.
No one's arguing that.
We're giving you names. There is a name because of the spectacle. He comes out there, he's going to have an awesome entrance, and he's going to have a great match, but I don't know the matchup, though.
United States champion Carmelo Hayes.
Don't know if I need him.
Okay. Women's United States champion Julia.
He takes offense. No, hey, man, I'm not sure if he – I mean, you have two knights. Should he be on there? Yes, I'm not sure if they will use him.
Yeah, I know 100%. I know that you would put him on the card. Sure. But, yeah, like you're not putting the U.S. champ on a two-night WrestleMania?
What about the women's U.S. champion, Julia? They put a lot into her.
Nope. Sorry.
No, her and Kiana James are going to be like in a tag, like a four-way tag team for the women's tag team championships or something weird.
I have no direction for these guys outside of a run-in. Where are the Usos on Mania?
They have to be involved somehow, and maybe they are helping Roman win the championship. More than likely, that's the finish, by the way, that they're helping Roman win the championship. I think that you're getting that for sure.
I mean, who's got Punk's back? Like, is someone going to step up for Punk here?
Well, you've been watching the TV. I mean, he comes out to Seattle as a heel. We should talk about this for a second. When he starts off the promo, guys, he says, well, I'm surprised. I didn't know I was going to get this reaction. Oh, so you're looking for the heel reaction. So that's the first key. The first note he hits on the piano. It's like, oh, I thought that I was going to get a bad reaction because of what I said about his dead dad. Oh, I'm sorry about that. And so he goes into it, and he comes off as an asshole.
Yep.
He does. He also talks about the spirituality of the Usos. I'm not a spiritual guy, but you think that Alpha can hear me? Who says that in a baby face?
Right. That was odd.
So Punk is coming in with Edge to the point where you circle back and it makes it Roman seem like, and Roman and the Usos look like the baby face in this. Is that the direction they were going? Is that what they wanted?
But Roman hasn't done anything to turn babyface.
Punk's turning him.
Right, but I'm saying, like, in terms of character-wise, everything he does is still a heel.
No, I mean, what? Yeah. What's the last thing? I mean, again, I know you don't see him all that often, but, like...
It's still acknowledge me. It's still I'm the one. I'm still the best. Like, what's different?
Yeah, he's not changing that because he gets an audience reaction.
Of course, but he did that as a heel also.
But Roman did not talk about Punk's dead dog yet.
Give it 5 days.
I was about to say the yet part there. Yes. I mean, that's obviously the retort.
Yes.
I mean, we just have to wait for Roman to actually show up to get that retort.
I just think that's something there. That promo, it confused the audience because when you get to the point where, you know, Jimmy and Jay's like, apologize. And then Punk says, you know what? I apologize. I apologize for Roman, blah, blah, blah. And the audience is like, oh, you see that? Did you see that? The audience is like, why don't you just freaking apologize? Move on.
That's what they were chanting. Where they're chanting, like, say you're sorry. Like, they wanted to apologize.
But the crowd wanted, they didn't get that. So that I find that very intriguing because there's a Brett Steve Austin double turn that seemed to be happening here, where Punk's coming across as a bad guy talking about someone's dead dad and also won't apologize for it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have the dead dad gimmick for a while before the crowd finally gets behind you. Again, see Christian in AEW. Eventually they come around and they want you to bring up the dead dad, as we saw the last time we saw Christian on television. But it's interesting because the crowd doesn't want him to be a heel.
Right.
Like, the crowd wants to be behind CM Punk. So I'm curious to see what they do with that, or if they just continue to force it. Because I'll tell you what, if Roman does what is expected and comes back on Larry, that's going to give sympathy to CM Punk once again.
If he doesn't go there, then I see Punk turning Roman verbally.
Yes. Yes.
It's already started, Brian. Like, that, it's already started. And so the Usos knocking Punk on his ass made you think, okay, well, who's the bad guy in that segment?
Yeah, but to the storyline standpoint, Jey Uso was winning a world title at Mania a year ago. But now he's just back to what he was 2 years ago, which is just running lackey guy.
Which you wanted.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, well, yeah, I'm just pointing that out.
Which you wanted.
Just wanted to make an observation. I had an Alfred opinion there.
They're the tag team champions. They have to have something for them.
Oh, don't you need another tag team on Raw first?
Well, you can't just slap a couple of guys together. That's how they got number one contenders over on SmackDown.
So here's what's happened, guys. Here's what's happened. The WWE has booked themselves into small cards where they can get through with the four-match card. But when you get to WrestleMania, it's like, oh, we need to add more? Like, oh. Like, and so from this, how many more matches, honestly, will they add to night one, night two? Two more? Three more?
You cannot charge people what they are charging for a stadium show. They have to add, not counting Brock, because that's only a half. They literally have to add 10 matches between the two nights. Like, you've got to have seven a night.
Even that's too few, like, honestly, for this company. But again, what are we talking about? We're trying to piecemeal it together. And to me, because of the long entrances and the slow build, I'm not sure they're going to have that many matches at WrestleMania this year. Would you be surprised if it's 10 total?
Five each night?
Would you be surprised?
I mean, people are going to revolt. People are going to revolt.
Hold on. They do four now in a pay-per-view. I just went to a card with 19,000 people with two chambers and two matches.
Yeah.
Did I not see
you
that?
Did. You did.
Matches? With no dark matches. I went to a card for 3+ hours with four matches in front of 19,000 people, and they paid through the nose for it.
So what do you five matches, long entrance, and you throw in a celebrity musician?
Or a celebrity match.
Oh.
You can't be surprised at that.
I'm not saying you're wrong, but man, that feels wrong.
WWE. They
feels like feels like you're taking advantage of your fan base.
No shit. No shit.
Yeah.
That's exact. Again, how many? We got Saturday Night's Main Event coming up in Fort Wayne.
Fort
Wayne, Indiana.
What great spot, boy. I don't know about you, stronghold for wrestling, Fort Wayne. Let me tell you, this company's the shits right now. Fort Wayne. Okay, so how many matches they got on Saturday Night's Main Event? It'll be what, like three?
Yeah,
maybe four?
Four.
So this is the way they book. So if you don't have stories, if you don't have matches, they're just going to be just slapping it against the wall and just like, here you go, long entrances, four or five matches, and then come back tomorrow. That's not right.
Wow. But yeah, like going back to the women's IC title, like the loser of AJ Bailey is left off.
Correct.
Unless Bailey and Lyra are thrown into whatever they do for the women's tag team titles.
Yeah, that does feel like an easy, like, oh, let's just throw all these women tag teams and say that we like women's wrestling.
You can't, and also, I mean, it's WWE, so I guess they can. But you can't do what they've really done over with the Untolds, or what's the Netflix show?
Unreal.
Unreal.
Yeah.
you can't do the unreal thing where Becky is obviously distraught about replacing Bayley on WrestleMania. You can't keep Bayley off of WrestleMania for a second straight year. Bayley is too good as a wrestler, good for the company, just a good person overall to keep her off the largest card that you do every year. She needs to be rewarded for her overall efforts in the world of professional wrestling. If you are not going to use her, let her go, because I guarantee you AEW will find a spot for her.
That is correct. And by the way, Bayley's not crazy anymore, huh?
No, what happened to that?
She's not crazy. Okay.
We moved on from that.
Okay. No, I mean, holy AEW. No explanation, huh?
But even, like, that's the baffling part. Like, you have stuff like that, but then the stories they do tell, like Gunther, like LA Knight getting over, now you're just going to leave them home and throw them in Battle Royals?
Are we saying LA Knight host of WrestleMania?
Oh, my God.
Is that what you said? I think that's what you just said. Is he Miz? The guy is the spokesperson for Slim Jim. He's got to be on the card. What's going on here?
God, Miz versus Danhausen's got a better chance of being on the card than LA Knight does right now.
You laugh, but that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. And by the way, overexposure on Danhausen, too. He should be kept special. So you're going to curse someone every week?
It's getting a reaction. Okay, he's got a catchphrase. He's been WWE-fied.
Okay. I just want you to know how quickly that's going to burn out if you just keep putting him out there for every week cursing somebody and making someone lose. That's not good. You got to keep him special.
I don't know if you give WWE crowds too much credit.
Every week.
He's going to hit that catchphrase, and they're going to be right there along with him. And that's it.
Him and R-Truth, huh?
Uh-huh. Okay. Even though, like... What about my guy Sammy? Like, he's telling stories. They're doing stuff. There's a heel turn coming. But what's the payoff to that?
He's pointing out all the heel tendencies in Cody Rhodes.
Right.
And Cody's just blowing him off.
And Killer Cross is punching at clouds, like I told you.
I mean, I'm just happy they decided to at least point out the hypocrisy of the whole Cody getting another championship opportunity. Hey, we're being hypocrites. We know we're being hypocrites, but it's what we got to do.
Is Drew McIntyre on the card?
Drew and Fatu will be a match. Nope.
Ah, okay.
There's all something right. there. I'll sure. give him credit for that one.
Sure. All right. We're just filling the card out now. Just all right.
So are they apparently?
So the women's. So again, no Julia, but then the Bayley story we talked about, and it sounds like Carmelo Hayes is a good SmackDown match leading into WrestleMania. Ugh. Because you know how that works,
right? Do the open challenge, the SmackDown before,
It's the old, hey, you're not on the card, but make sure your SmackDown or your Raw match the night before or after is WrestleMania quality.
Yeah. So and we'll get you. See you at the Hall of Fame. See you there.
See you there at the Hall of Fame. Yeah, that's it. Oh. That's it. Any other champions that are missing? You mentioned the tag team champions, but I can't find you a viable contender for the Usos.
Nope.
On night one. Probably, right?
The SmackDown tag champs are solo. But, we assume that match with Priest and R-Truth will be not Mania, right?
Sounds like a good SmackDown.
I mean, again, I assumed whoever was winning the
fair. The women's
I thought that Bayley, I'm like, oh, sweet, Bayley's in WrestleMania. Nope, next week on Raw. Son of a bitch.
Right.
Okay, all right.
I know someone's watching and listening. It's like, hey, guys, let it work play out. All we're talking about is that usually for WrestleMania, we have much more clarity than we have right now instead of just saying, well, we got to do this. Now we got WrestleMania. That's not it feels like a professional sports team that says tickets are sold. Just put anything out there. And that's not right.
But the tickets aren't sold.
Yeah, there's that part. Just scrolling through the roster. This name is mentioned all the time in all the WWE promotions. What's Javon Evans doing? Great Rumble.
That boy bouncy.
Uh-huh.
Seems like he could potentially win the Andre Battle Royal on SmackDown before the Rumble. Before Mania.
How is that beneficial?
That's good odds, by the way, on Javon Evans. I think I put money on that.
Yeah.
Insane.
But again, it's the same thing with Oba. Like, Oba had a great Rumble, and they finally, I was hoping for maybe a longer match with him and Rusev, yeah. to get our guy Big E, all excited with meaty men slapping meat. But it was still a really good spot for Oba, and they're finally starting to build him and get him past, just squash matches every week.
But Oba beating Brock would be a moment and would be great for him if that's what we end up getting.
But Brock and Heyman don't want him to do a job.
Yeah, there's that part.
Well, that's the truth. and by the way, a little late, even though we saw Oba in a 6 minutes of quality against Cody Rhodes, might be a little early for Oba to be put in that kind of matchup at that level. A little early. WWE is doing something completely odd. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, but I just want to just bring it up again in that they're building young stars during the road to WrestleMania. Usually right. It's after WrestleMania. It's like, hey, look at this new star at NXT. Hey, look at this one, that kind of thing. It's a very unusual time where it's like, here's the road to WrestleMania, but yet here comes Javon Evans. Here comes the people Cody Rhodes is touting as the next superstars. Usually that's after WrestleMania, not during WrestleMania season.
Trick?
I was about to say, that's the next name. Where's Trick? Wrestling Carmelo on SmackDown?
Yes.
We mentioned
that SmackDown might be more must see than night one.
It's gonna be hot.
I've got indie plans that night. I can't tune into that SmackDown.
That's hot. And damn it, that won't even be in Vegas. Where's that SmackDown?
I think they usually do it at T-Mobile.
Is that T-Mobile?
Yeah, I think so.
See, that's the thing right there. Go to SmackDown. And then go to all the indie shows and get on the plane and leave.
Yeah.
There you go. Red eye.
What about Raquel? We talk about her. She doesn't have a match right now.
She's in the corner of Liv.
Yeah. SmackDown is at the T-Mobile Arena, by the way.
I'd go to that.
Yeah, again, the way we're fantasy booking that SmackDown, pretty damn good. Pretty damn good SmackDown. All right, Brian, what do we got at number 3 this week?
Sunday night from California, AEW Revolution. They have matches. They have lots of them. What will be the biggest story to come out of Revolution this weekend?
Not just California, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. I wasn't 100% sure.
What do you have in Reading? No, they're going to be in Los Angeles for our people at ESPN Los Angeles.
I forgot to write down that part, so I wasn't 100% sure, so they didn't want to misidentify.
It's LA, for God's sake.
All right.
Crypto, I believe.
So we've got, I'm assuming there's going to be 3 pre-show matches. They've announced the 21-man Blackjack Battle Royal featuring Ricochet and Tommaso Ciampa and 19 others to be announced. Willow Nightingale going to be pulling double duty as she's going to fight Lina Cross for the TBS title. I'm assuming Big Boom AJ is going to end up on whatever match that is. I'm assuming that's on the pre-show, although that's not official. But that leaves me with MJF versus Hangman Adam Page, FTR versus the Young Bucks, both those championship matches. Mox putting the Continental Championship on the line against Takeshita. Andrade taking on Bandido. Brody King versus Swerve Strickland. Tekla in a 2 out of 3 falls match for the AEW Women's Championship against Statlander. The Don Callis family taking on Mystico and Jet Speed for the Trios Championship. Timeless Tony Storm versus Marina Shafir. Babes of Wrath defending the tag team titles against Megan Bain and Lita Cross. And then a Trios match featuring Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, and Roderick Strong against the Dogs of David Finley, Clark Hunters, and Gabe Kidd.
Boy, if you need a card, it should be on 3 o'clock Eastern. It should be this one.
Yeah. You just need that time, man. Because some of these are going to, Texas Death? How long is Texas Death going to take? How long is 2 out of 3 falls going to take?
I mean, Mox Takeshita saying no time limit. Like, scares the hell out of me. Like, how long are they going?
Like, they just wrestle for 90 minutes.
Yeah. It's like, guys, let's go home.
Full arm dragon twist by the kitchen. I gotta pee, Tony. My God.
So there's a lot to choose from. What's the biggest story?
I know it's 5 Pacific, but that's too damn long.
Yeah.
Listen, it's gonna be a great card. It's gonna be a lot of great matches. I'm just saying, My God. Now, here it is, the yin and yang of our show here. We're talking about too few matches possibly on WrestleMania, and you've got a banger on Sunday. Too many matches.
Well, but the problem is, like, I mean, outside of, you know, watching Big Boom AJ, like, I don't know which move, I don't know which match I want to go and, like, grab a beer, go to the bathroom. Because again, like, okay, maybe for the Trios, but Kyle Fletcher, that's his match. I don't want to miss the Kyle Fletcher match for the Trios Championship. Don't want to miss out on that. Don't want to miss out on Brody King versus Swerve, like, for the, I mean, unofficial title of, you know, the baddest man in AEW, or the most dangerous man in AEW, excuse me. Like, I guess Andrade versus Bandido, but that could be match of the night.
Yeah, what?
It could be. What happens every time with the AEW pay-per-view is that the solid women's match always gets screwed. Where it's like, it's a good match, and it's just like, yeah, I saw it, but I was tired in the middle of the card. And that's what's going to happen to Tekla and Chris Statlander, that people will say, oh, 2 out of 3 falls, I'm going to go take a piss.
But the weird part is, like, in one of these, you will have seen it. We're going to see Willow and Lena in the pre-show, and then we're going to see them again in the tag match. I would, like, looking at the card this morning, I was like, wait, is that someone different? Like, I thought it was like a typo. I was like, oh no, they're facing each other twice. Like, that is very odd.
Part of the promo that that Willow cut last night after she defended the TBS championship for whatever reason against Persephone on regular TV on a Wednesday.
Yeah, SmackDown before WrestleMania. Why couldn't that be on the pay-per-view? Persephone, like, supposed to be, again, based on everything we read, supposed to be pretty quality CMLL, you know, women's champion, and she's on Dynamite in San Jose?
Yep.
Okay.
And by the way, speaking of Persephone, because she defeated Mercedes, like, Mercedes is going on a world tour of dropping all those championships now, and it's awesome. She is doing exactly what we thought she was going to do, is she's doing all the jobs so she can hit rock bottom, and it is great professional wrestling.
It's the way it's supposed to be. She wins all these championships, and then it's like, okay, get your house in order. Get your number one contender ready. When I come back, I'm going to drop the title. She's doing what she's supposed to do as a professional wrestler. She's not – because I'm telling you, in other spots, and we can do the research on it, oh, I win the championship in Poland? Yeah, I'm just vacating it.
Right.
Have a tournament. I'm not coming back there. She says, I'm going to go back to Winnipeg. I'm going here. I'm going to all these countries. You got your number one contender ready? Okay, I'm going to drop it. And it's great. That's the way she's supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
She wins the championship, makes the company better. Because, and wherever she's going next, where is it, Brian? Is she going to be?
They're to London. I think they're to London coming up.
London. Okay, so it's sold out. I read somewhere.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Yeah, because they want to see her to compete, but also lose the title to whoever the popular person is in that company. And so it's great.
She is going on. She's in France this weekend.
Drop the title.
Yep. The following Saturday, she's heading to Wolverhampton, England.
There you go.
Put another championship on the line. So then she still has championships in Malaysia. She has the WPW championship, which is in Canada, but she's defending that, already scheduled at the end of the month. Has a Denmark championship, a Polish championship, and an Austria championship.
And I'm just searching her name on Twitter from yesterday, hosting a free wrestling seminar in Italy.
See? She's actually doing
it. No, she's...
It's great.
That's what I'm saying. Like, her and Bailey, man, let's get them back together. Let's get the band back together.
Yeah, that's great. She's helping wrestling across the world. Not that she's glomming and holding on to the championship. She's like, I'm going to make your company, or make that person your company, better. Here you go. Here's your title.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Like, you scratch my back, so she becomes Ultimo Monet, looks great on television, and now she goes and drops all the championships. Yep. Going back to Revolution, again, I think the biggest story to come out of Revolution still is going to be the world championship, because either Hangman is going to be world champion, which is going to be a little bit of a shock, or he's never, ever, ever going to be able to challenge for that championship again. So that's going to be the biggest thing to come out of the entire pay-per-view. And that's why, no matter how tired I'm going to be, I'm going to be locked in watching that bad boy on Sunday night.
That feels like big return debut post-match. I don't know who's even out there anymore. I guess you could have Ospreay return, but, like, I feel like we haven't had that in a while to end a pay-per-view.
Wasn't Hangman Page in the company when Cody Rhodes decided to do this in AEW? Was he around for that?
Yeah, he's been there day one.
I was telling Gabe the other week that we really need to have that spot track of contracts in wrestling, where we can go to a website and be able to, because I like to know Hangman Page's contract situation.
Sure.
If you don't have that stip, are you leaving? You leaving the company? Because otherwise, why would you agree to this and never have a chance for the AEW championship again when people want to see that?
What if it sets up the heel turn? Like the way we always said that's what Cody should have done. What if he just takes that path?
And no title.
No, like eventually, like, hey, screw what I said. I'm going to challenge for the title, turn heel. It's wrestling logic.
Sure.
The man burned down a house and still didn't turn heel.
But going back on his word, that might do it.
Sure.
We're about honor here in AEW.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Why not? I mean, because it seems like people are like, well, there's no way that he'll never go through this company and never challenge for the championship again. He's going to win, right? If he does win, if Hangman wins, it's wrong. Because,
well, again,
MJF just won the championship. Like, I don't like hot potato with the world title.
What if an opportunity came along for MJF in Hollywood and he had to take it, and that's why he drops it, because he's going to be going to shoot a movie or TV series or whatever? Like, again, this is just in my mind, I'm trying to make it make sense. And that's the only thing that makes sense of, oh, hey, let's really up the ante, up the stakes here. That's why it makes sense of the championship going back to Hangman, because MJF has to go away for the next 3 months. And we've done the interim champion thing before. We didn't like doing it. So let's just go ahead and have him go off and then come back.
Brian?
Yeah, I guess that's fine. I'm just looking at like how long they've held the belt. So Mox held it for 273 days. Hangman wins it 133 days. Joe wins it, holds it for 35 days. And MJF currently at 74 days.
You're the person for Inside Edition or Entertainment Tonight. Go look up the IMBD. Is there a movie coming for MJF? Oh. That's your job.
I don't know. Like,
because if there's a movie coming, then Gabe is right.
But like him winning doesn't make, like, we talked about Ospreay at Wembley. Like, you want MJF as the champion in that spot.
Yes. Ospreay, I predict, is going to be the next champion in Wembley. Yes.
With Swerve now being a heel, I mean, you can build up Swerve to be a mega heel again in terms of, you know, if he wins or if he beats, if he beats Hangman Page and then he goes into Wembley, again, you're kind of hot potatoing it because there's not a ton of time between now and Wembley. But I don't know. I mean, although it'd be hard to complain about Ospreay versus Hangman.
I don't know. You got me excited about Swerve versus Ospreay.
And we saw that before and it was a banger, obviously, right?
We can see it 800 more times. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah. I guess
my heart was set on MJF having the title all the way to Wembley and then dropping it to a healthy Ospreay. And that's what I thought.
And look, he still very well could. Like, I'm just trying to make it make sense of why they did the stipulation. And maybe they're just dumb enough to try to do it for a second time with, you know what, it didn't really work for Cody, but maybe this time it'll work out. Like, maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. I'm just trying to make it make sense in my own head.
And then MJF against Anthony Ogogo.
Yeah.
Because that worked with Cody. He did a Rocky thing right in front of us and it sucked.
Anthony and Coco.
Boy, I tell you what, the old Jacksonville tapings, boy. Bad. Pandemic TV. Horrible.
I do quickly do want to give a shout out. I don't think Brody King's winning, but having him break the chain yesterday, fantastic professional wrestling. Making him look strong. So even after he loses to Swerve, he's still going to have, I think, be a strong character on television. All right. It's been a long episode. We still have a couple things to get to. Brian, what do we have in news and notes this week?
Pat McAfee's been off WWE television, which usually happens after football. We usually see him return in January. He was asked on Instagram when we're going to see him back. He said, quote, "Will I be returning to WWE in the future? I don't think you ever say never, especially with the WWE, but right now it does not feel like it's something that's supposed to happen. It feels like that business has kind of passed me by a little bit." He also added the WWE is in a good spot without him.
It was weird not to see him in Indianapolis, right? When they came, was it Raw? in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where is he? And I thought he was going to pop up just for a special appearance. He was not on TV. And I said, oh, that's interesting.
I mean, he's been doing a lot of stuff with his show, kind of taking it all over the place. And the travel, seeing as how I do a regular radio show with somebody who does that travel in Jen Latta and travels for College Game Day the way that he does, like, if you can tamp down that travel then during the non-college football season, that makes sense to me. And look, I mean, he would be taking the place of a very capable color commentator, whether he's taking the spot of Wade Barrett, whether, you know, he goes to Monday Night Raw. Like, the commentary teams are in a good spot. You know, Corey Graves was the one who got screwed out of it last time, and I think does a tremendous job. I think this makes sense. Like, as much of a passion as he has for it, and the door is probably always going to be open for him if he wants to, it makes sense for me, especially because he's got a young kid at home. He probably wants to see his kid grow up.
They can go to NXT. Speaking of NXT, their PLEs have a new home. Vengeance Day last week was the last one to air on Peacock. Announced this week, though, Stand and Deliver will be airing on YouTube. The event will take place April 4th from St. Louis. First time since 2021 that it will not be a part of WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, YouTube. How the mighty have fallen. You don't pay for it now, huh?
Uh-huh. Tough look.
Wow. Okay. I think that's where it belongs, quite frankly. So now everybody can be able to consume it. If you don't have Peacock, now you can see it on YouTube, just like the AAA show they have. So, yeah, sure. No problem.
I mean, it tells me that the streaming numbers probably aren't strong enough for anybody else to want to buy it, right? Like, right. So obviously it was just a tack on to the other PLEs that WWE went and ESPN went, no, we don't need those. We just want the regular ones. And now it goes to YouTube.
CW app not doing it, huh? You could have put it there. Roll that sucker on the CW app. How about that?
Live Golf tried that. I don't think it worked out for them either.
Isn't that technically, does the NWA still live there?
No, they don't live there. No, they were kicked off the CW app.
Where do you find? All right. Well, there's
that. That will conclude our coverage here of Live Golf. Watch the rest on CW Network. We have no board ops after 6 p.m. Central. Good night. Where are you going?
There's two holes left. What are we doing?
Where are you going? Sudden death. It's gone off my TV. It's a rerun of Family Feud.
Finally, news and notes. The Road Dogg, Brian James, recently released or left the WWE, and he might be coming to a town near you. Found out this week he'll be at the Squared Circle Expo in Indianapolis at the end of the month. And in December, himself and Billy Gunn will be appearing for Great Lakes Championship Wrestling Blizzard Brawl 21 at the Pottawatomie Casino in Milwaukee.
To do what?
To be there and hang out with Gabe.
To, you know, probably just get the crowd hyped up. Oh, you didn't know?
And to hang out with Gabe.
Wow. So I didn't see Unreal, but from what people are telling me, like, Road Dogg had no clue and really no answers for SmackDown.
Well, did the television tell you that?
I mean, I guess that's the case. I don't know. I mean, I think it's more than one person running these shows, though. I thought he had some help.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in those rooms. And again, I saw a rumor saying that he left because he didn't get a favorable annual review or something, and decided, okay, I'm out of here. So,
well, what is that? Who does the review? Triple H? I wonder who does the review. Who's the director of content that does the review at WWE?
Oh, Cody Rhodes is the golden boy. Maybe it's Cody.
Yeah, player coach.
So did he get mad and just like, okay, well, I'm out of here? Because I saw this guy several years ago sitting on a speaker in MLW at Cicero Stadium trying to hide from people. And he looked at me and I looked at him. I just shook my head. I'm like, you're terrible. You're an MLW. Everyone else is trying to get on his jock, like, oh, it's Road Dogg Jesse James. Road Dogg. And I just looked at him. I'm just staring, just walking past him like, you didn't know.
All right. What did you guys have for your matches of the week?
If I throw out the card Fletcher against
Speedball against Bailey.
Against Bailey, can you beat that hand?
If I throw that
card out. Okay.
No.
That was a hell of a match, boy. Hell of a match.
Wow. I don't know if Fletcher can have a bad match at this point.
Well, it helps when the dance partner's Speedball.
I was going to suggest to have him on today just to give pat him on the back.
Yeah. Might have tried. I didn't get an answer. Like, every match he's in, like, is unbelievable.
I mean, just bring someone that doesn't watch wrestling to the TV. Let them watch that match.
Yes.
And that person would say, oh, is that guy the world heavyweight champion? Oh, no, he's not world champion. He's not. He's the best thing on the card. Huh. Yeah. This is incredible. That was great.
The trios match to close out Dynamite was good.
It's very good.
FTR and Ciampa taking on Dem Bucks.
So I'll give you from FTR, Collision, really strong one this weekend. FTR versus the Rascals to open the show on Saturday.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. But I can see FTR's frustration with them, though. It's kind of like, slow down, slow down. Just like grab a hold. Like it's like Dax, side headlock. Yeah. Just like, okay, stop, slow down. You don't have to go a million miles an hour. Let's tell a story a little bit. Nope, we're going to run all over the place. We're just going to jump and fly. Yeah.
I'll also give you, found it on YouTube, so shout out YouTube and illegal streaming, CMLL, that Mercedes versus Persephone match, over 20 minutes. Ooh. Mercedes' first match of the year, which I didn't realize had been that long of a layoff, and does not miss a beat.
Got a little linkage for me?
Yeah, I'm going to text it to you right now.
Yeah, let's just go ahead and, just spread the love there, man.
English commentary, no one else on the screen. Like, I was ready to watch it with, like, someone, you know, doing their own commentary, but I don't know. So shout out to Illegal Streaming.
I'll take a look at that, please. Thank you. Very interested in that.
Uh-huh. Banger.
There was nothing in WWE. There was moments on Raw.
Yeah.
There wasn't like matches that I thought, oh my God. Like, I'll just say this.
Like, Asuka's
incredible. Asuka's just amazing. At her age, whatever it is, incredible.
Yeah, there were moments in the women's gauntlet match, I thought, that were a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Asuka and Kyrie could be a WrestleMania story. They won't, but imagine just letting those two go out there and do 10 minutes on a Mania card.
Steal the show.
Yeah.
Which is why they won't let it happen, Brian.
Good point.
Fine Raw.
Okay.
With a DQ finish.
Of course. Got to have a run-in. How else do you finish a match?
Yeah.
Oh, so we've got Revolution this week. We're on that road to WrestleMania. Maybe we'll get a little bit more clarity this week on SmackDown on Raw, what that WrestleMania card is going to look like. Make sure you check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodcomerwrestling. Comment, subscribe, because we've got great content. Going to continue to have great content. Brian's going to be out at WrestleMania, so we'll be ready for that next month as well. We're going to talk about everything happening in pro wrestling right here next week on GKW.